Good morning.
Good morning.
For those of you that I have not met, I'm Kevin Peterson, and Pastor Tim just suggested that I just take a moment to give you a little bit of history as to who I am, just so I can calm the nerves and break the ice. So, I'm Kevin Peterson. My wife is Ruth. We have three kids that are kind of scattered throughout the world right now. We live southwest of Wheaton, out towards Lake Traverse, and we farm. My background is animal agriculture. I have a degree in animal science. So for me, putting a message or a sermon together is a little bit like pregnancy in a beef cow. So you got this whole preparation period ahead of time where you're getting everything ready. You're getting the ration right, you're getting the facility right, you're taking care of things, and you're just getting it all together, building up to it. And then comes the delivery, where we're at right now. So you pull your sleeves up, and you're just hoping everything goes well. And as you get into it, sometimes delivery just goes smooth, you know? It's good. You're on. Sometimes deliveries get tough, and sometimes deliveries get really tough, and you realize you need help. So you try to do what you can, do the best you can, and if it's just over and above what you can do, you got to get help. So you start to make phone calls. Probably the first one you call is your vet, so they get on the way to get out there, and maybe the second one you call is your pastor, so they can say a prayer, and hopefully this ends up well. Well, today, if this delivery doesn't go well, and I get out my phone, the first one I'm going to call is my vet and tell him I need a prayer, and then I'm going to look over to Pastor Tim and say, you got to help me with this delivery. So, let us start with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you are a good and gracious God. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the words that you have spoken to us through the Bible. I ask that the message that I share today will be acceptable to you, and that it may be a benefit to those who hear it. We give glory and praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so now I'm a little bit out of order since I already did an intro, but this is the time of year when I spend a lot of time in my office crunching numbers, and I'm guessing a lot of you do too. Year-end reports, budgets for a new year, evaluating inputs, financial statements, tax forms, it just kind of goes on and on. So when Pastor Tim asked me if I would share the message today, I said yeah, because number one, I wanted to help out since they were going to be gone this past week down to Chicago for the midwinter conference. And secondly, I just kind of needed a break from all the numbers and the numerical tasks. So when I started writing, first I attempted to write a message that would sound like a biblical scholar, but that was a failure because I am not a biblical scholar. I attempted to find an existing sermon that I could use as a guide and modify it to fit kind of where we're at today, today's environment. That really didn't work either. As I was growing a little anxious and considering throwing in the towel, I got a phone call from the tax preparer and then from an accountant. And I just kind of sat there doodling on my papers. And I'm not sure where it came from, but this little formula just kind of appeared between the numbers on my page. And it's kind of odd that a math formula would just kind of get you going, but yeah, that's kind of what got me started here, so I will share further into my message before I share my formula. So, over the last two weeks, Pastor Tim has been sharing about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and what we call the Beatitudes. From the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 3, the first of the Beatitudes is, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. And the second, in verse 4, God blesses those who mourn. In Matthew 5, verse 5, the New Living Translation of the Bible reads, God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. The English Standard Version, the NIV, and the King James Version all say, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. My first thoughts when reading this verse is, uh-oh, here Jesus goes again, completely contradicting the ways of the world that we live in. Who wants to be meek and humble? We are all taught from the time we are just little to take care of ourselves, to be the best we can be, to be independent. We all like to talk about ourselves, our successes, our problems, how busy we are, when our favorite sports teams are on a roll, who received the best grade on the test at school, and on and on. It seems that our pride or ego can just naturally take over and control our minds and actions. I looked in a dictionary. Meek was defined as quiet, gentle, and easily imposed upon, submissive. This is just not a trait that most of us strive for in a competitive, me-first world that loves instant gratification. Humble can be defined as having or showing a modest estimate of one's value or importance, not arrogant or self-important. This definition is a little more tolerable, but how far do we think humbleness is going to get us in day-to-day life? As I read through the footnotes of my Bible and some other resources that I had, the qualities of meek or humble looked quite a bit different. The Bible does not point to an individual who is meek and humble as being weak or not capable. On the contrary, being meek or humble is described as a quality of gentle strength, strength under control, self-control, mild, considerate towards others while submitting to God's will. The illustration of a powerful horse that is trained to serve its master was given several times in several places. A meek person was described as a person who restrains their rights and power for the good of others, trusts God, and shows compassion, as exemplified by Jesus Christ. I really like that. I'm going to repeat it again. A meek person was described as a person who restrains their rights and power for the good of others, trusts God, and shows compassion, as exemplified by Jesus Christ. These explanations of being meek and humble or having humility really pulled me into this verse. As I looked around for more examples of humility in the Bible, it became obvious that this attitude is spread throughout the Old and New Testaments. In Numbers 12:3, Moses is described as very humble, more humble than any other person on earth, meaning he relied on God rather than on himself. Psalm 37:11 reads, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Proverbs 22:4 adds, humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. In the New Testament, Jesus is the ultimate model of these qualities in his teachings, healings, and actions. Caring for the poor, the sick, and the hungry in a servant-like way demonstrated his meekness. His love, kindness, and methods of correcting those who are wrong illustrated his humility. And of course, his death on the cross for our sake is the ultimate example of selflessness and submitting to God's will. In Matthew 11:29, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Yesterday, the men's group looked at the fourth chapter of James. In it, the fourth verse says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Based on this continual reminding, I think it is very clear that our outward expressions towards others needs to be controlled and God-honoring. Here I'm going to pause just for a moment and shift gears, because most of these verses, including the verse of the day, have a second part to them. I'll repeat verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So from the verses I just read earlier, peace, prosperity, wisdom, riches, honor, life, rest for the soul, and to be lifted up are some of the gifts that may be bestowed on those who honor our God. That is an impressive list. As good as these gifts are, following God and living out the examples of Jesus may not always be easy. I struggle with this every day. It is so easy to have a sharp tongue or to be prideful and self-centered. We need to maintain our focus. We need to remember to control ourselves. To be strong and bold in our faith is good, but we must submit to God and serve others to be truly blessed. We are promised that there will always be rewards for surrendering our lives to God. The Bible speaks of the peace, contentment, and joy we will receive on this earth for following Jesus. I have heard many of you speak of receiving these blessings, so I know this is true. I have felt them myself. The other blessings on this earth may or may not include prosperity, wisdom, or honor. I do not know. I do know that our future inheritance in a new heaven and on a new earth was guaranteed by Christ's death and resurrection. We have all been created uniquely. Our relationship with God is unique, and His gifts to us will surely also be unique. So let us not forget the words Jesus taught us. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And if you remember back at the beginning, I said I doodled a formula. Just numbers were busting out of my head. I'm not sure if this is an original or if I just recalled it from somewhere, something that I had seen before. Some of you who are math geeks or analytical thinkers may appreciate it. In the formula, it's really tough to find a cross on your keyboard. So the T represents a cross, the cross of Jesus Christ. At the end of the formula, the lazy eight symbol is the symbol for eternity or infinity. Therefore, if we keep God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit before and greater than ourselves, we will be eternally with Him. That is what blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, means to me. Let us close with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, help us not to be selfish. Help us not to try to impress others. Help us to be humble, thinking of others as better than ourselves. Help us to not look out only for our own interests, but take an interest in others as well. Give us the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. Though He was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, He gave up His divine privileges, He took the humble position of a slave, and was born as a human being. When He appeared in human form, He humbled Himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Help us to follow His example and put You, God, first in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.